She saved my husband's life. That's how I think of it. That's what I believe happened.
Today on Well Healed, we bring you a tender, loving, healing story, one that changed the lives of Jane, who you just heard from, and her husband Mark, and doubtless many others, including me. Jane is a qualified nurse who took her gifts of empathy and wisdom in a new direction as an expert in children's mental health in her role as a school counsellor. Mark is a senior teacher who has spent his life sharing with students his passion and wonder about the world of physics and chemistry. A scientist who also played rugby at a high level. Not necessarily the credentials you'd think to embrace something as mysterious as energy healing. Let's rewind more than a dozen years to a time when Jane and Mark had taken a bold shift in their lives by moving their young family to Southeast Asia, where they were hired to work in an international school in Brunei, a small nation along the coast of Borneo. Mark, in his late 40s, discovers that he needs heart surgery and that he'll have to travel back to the UK for the operation. And this is where we pick up the story in Mark and Jane's own words, with Jane setting the scene.
Mark was diagnosed with this failing and incompetent aortic valve, which was at a dangerous level. I think it was only performing to 12% of its capacity. And he had surgery for that in England, here in England, even though he was still living in Brunei. He and I flew over. He had the surgery. It was a very scary time. Very scary time. That was very, very frightening. But then after that, his recovery was very straightforward. He was discharged from hospital after about a week. I drove him to our friends in Devon, who he was going to convalesce with, because he'd been told he couldn't fly for a month. And I came back. I went back to Brunei and went back to work and looked after the children.
The operation behind him, Mark is feeling well enough to take the marathon flight back to Brunei. But things then start to take a turn for the worse.
I started to feel ill on the flight. And one of the dangers with the operation is bacterial infection, because it's an artificial valve. The only time anyone's told me I was too young for anything recent years was I was too young to have a tissue valve, because it would need replacing again when I was older and might have other things that might make that dangerous. So I've got a metal valve, and if bacteria gets on it, because it's not part of your system, it's therefore not, your immune system doesn't kick in, and it's really hard to remove it. So the worst case scenario is you have a replacement valve, and the second operation can be, chance of survival are lower, much lower than the first one. And got home, it's Christmas, just for Christmas, I think on Christmas Eve actually. And from there, started to go downhill, felt weaker and weaker. I went to the doctor in Solidaire, who was good, the cardiologist, and I was on 4 hours, or at least felt like, I'm thinking that's right, 4 hours, maybe that's a total time of going to the hospital and coming home, of intravenous IV daily, and it didn't seem to be getting any better. I would get up in the morning feeling okay, and within half an hour I felt really weak again, and I'm not very back to bed, but we would certainly be lying on the bed. And you know, that continued, that downward slope from then on, and to the extent where I didn't know or really care what was happening. I felt so weak and quite ill, in the sense of being exhausted, not as in flu or anything like that, but how you feel when you've got flu. But I didn't have any of those sort of flu symptoms like the and the cough and anything like that, but I felt the roughness that you have with those sorts of things. And Jane, observing from the outside, was getting really worried, but I was getting weaker and weaker.
He became very unwell, and high fevers. He got an infection, which was one of the complications post-surgery that we'd been warned about. That was very unfavourable, because once, if an infection, a systemic infection, lodges in the new valve, it's very difficult to get rid of it. And we were told that patients didn't do very well, or sometimes needed repeat surgery. So that felt very important. He was being bombarded with intravenous antibiotic several times a day, initially as an inpatient in Brunei, and then they, because it was having to go on for longer than I think they'd anticipated medically, I was allowed to bring him home and look after him at home. And I just took him to the hospital twice a day for the IV antibiotics. But he just wasn't improving. And they got to a point where, towards the end of a week, I just felt like not only was he not improving, but he was deteriorating, had less energy. Physically, he was increasingly weak. He couldn't walk very far at all. He just was failing at every level, really. And I was beginning to panic. I think my fear was that he was dying. And we'd had all this sort of heavy information about the dangers of getting an infection. And nobody was really saying anything about the big picture. They were just doing more of the same. There was no re-evaluation of this isn't working, let's think again. It was just, we'll keep going with these antibiotics. I can't remember whether they changed the antibiotics. They certainly extended the protocol. They changed the dose, and it all carried on. And this was going on for weeks. It wasn't a short period, it was weeks. And so there was very little information. And I think I trained as a nurse. I was brought up in a family with a surgeon and a nurse mother. There was a very deep sense within me that all was not well and that I should initiate something. It was a very instinctive move to connect him with my friend.
That friend was someone Jane and Mark had known for several years, someone who had only recently felt a deep call-in to become an energy healer. Jane had been with her on that journey, had joined in a sense, by doing her research into healing and opening to new ideas and attitudes to our human existence.
Some of what I was reading was based on studies and research going back many, many years, as well as living in Southeast Asia, where we were rooted in alternative areas of holistic medicine and spirituality, which I think is very much at play in the back of my life, being opened to those different influences and curious about them in a way that I'd never encountered in my very narrow and pedestrian life up to that time. We arranged a time, and the day progressed, and as we came to lunchtime, our appointment with her was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I thought, I'm going to have to go now with him because he was so low. I felt like he was running out of energy, and I would not be able to get him in the car if I waited until 3 o'clock. So I managed to help him to the car, and we put the seat right back, and off we went.
So when Jane suggested I was getting to the stage where I didn't need to be convinced about that, because I'm already accepted that this was possible, healing possible, and it's from a different view perhaps to Jane, but certainly no problem with it. And I was realizing that it was getting quite serious, and I didn't care what we did, it's something, because it was not getting any better by conventional medicine. Well, first of all, I had to be supported from the car, and I could stand up, walk, but only with support. I was that weak. And then we, in the sense, the usual thing, lying on a table, a massage type table. And again, in the sense of being aware of what was going on, I was not so aware. I was lying on the table and was aware of moving around me. I knew that she was interacting with me, but never touched me. And the weariness and the feeling ill started to dissipate. And you know, you can argue about, we don't have to think about why that might have been. Some comfort from it and some hope from it. So I might have just had basis, or there was a bodily interaction going on. What confirmed to me, feeling ill, I could feel it somewhere down. I feel it move out the top of my head, and as if it had been drawn out. And but I felt fine. I'd done all that, but I walked back to the car. Which I felt that the feelings I was having of weakness and feeling ill was out of my body. I didn't feel them anymore at all. I felt those feelings that I was call illness feelings of weakness had left my body.
I was asked to wait. Mark went through to her treatment room and emerged, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half later, standing up straight. And when he walked into the house, he was leaning with his arms over both of our shoulders, one on either side of us, old man. And I can't tell you what it was like to see him walk out of that room, stand independently and standing straight and smiling at me. It felt like such a relief. And from that point on, he began to improve. I can't remember how long it was after that the doctors told him we could stop the antibiotics, but it was soon after. We didn't go to her house or the treatment room again, but we met a couple of times in the rainforest, which was abundantly around us, and she and Mark would walk. They'd go off on a walk through the trees, and that was the treatment. A couple more, and there was my husband back.
So Mark, would you agree with Jane's assessment that the healer basically saved your life?
No, I think that is possible. Don't know that that's the case, but I think that was possible. I was getting worse and worse. And that was just in weakness and feeling ill. But presumably some sort of bacterial infection, I think. But it was not responding to antibiotics. 4 hours a day of intravenous antibiotics, it was not responding to intense antibiotics. I had a slight infection immediately after the operation. They whacked it then with very strong antibiotics, and that dealt with it. I felt fine. But this was going nowhere, other than that it was going downwards. And so, yes, I think if you extrapolate from where I was, it might have gone on for a long time, but no, I might have continued to go down for a long time, but that's a possibility and quite a reasonable assumption. But again, I didn't know, because my awareness of what was going on was different from hers. I just felt ill and weak, and she was observing that and probably could see it much more clearly than I could have felt it. I was quite happy to accept that she had a talent or whatever that was, and I could explain it by interactions of our electromagnetic fields or whatever if I needed to do that, but I didn't have a problem with that. I'm completely open-minded, as far as I'm concerned. To be a scientist, you cannot have fixed positions, because that's the whole point of science. It's the main thing that science should be is self, expressions going ahead, but it means basically it should be self-disproving. So you set out to disprove your accepted knowledge. So if you're taking gravity, if you throw a stick up in the air 1,000 times and it comes down, there's a reasonable suggestion of gravity exists. But if you throw that stick up in the air and it doesn't come down, you first have to eliminate other possibilities, like a bird caught it as it was flying past, or it got stuck in a tree. If you've eliminated all the other possibilities, then you have to change your hypothesis. And so I don't have any problem with the understanding of healing, and can explain it through my understanding. But I also think there's a spiritual element as well, which in science doesn't account for, because science is evidence. I responded to it in thinking that we reinforcing our need to be open-minded about these things, that even our most advanced science doesn't explain them, but it does point in that direction. And it changed my approach to my work. Although I did always think like that anyway, I had such what I felt was a phenomenal experience of that illness moving out of my body at very, very specifically. I felt like a wave coming up from and out the top of my head. And maybe she was pulling, I don't know what hands were doing, so I had my eyes shut. I had my eyes shut partly because I just didn't feel very well and well enough to be aware of. So it probably changed my approach. Well, I always had this approach, but it really made me emphasize it more when I was working with students to be open-minded, to really understand you know, how science works, and that what we teach in science in schools is accepted to make it accessible at an age-appropriate level, but is not the truth by any means, and that they need to be much more open-minded in thinking science is true. Science is our best knowledge so far, and sometimes it's going in the wrong direction, but other times, like this, if I extrapolate my scientific knowledge, I can end up healing quite happily. There's no contradiction there for me.
The amazing story of a wonderful couple and an energy healer, someone whose name we've only omitted because we await her permission to include it. If she does give us permission, we'll list her details in the comments section below. Like I said, this heartwarming story piqued my initial interest in energy healing, lighting a fire that pushed me to take a 2-year course and become an energy healer, something for which I'll forever be grateful to Mark and Jane. So let's just reflect on important aspects of this tale, not least among them the profound potential of energy healing, offering another option when medical interventions are going wrong, or perhaps as something to try before things start to go wrong. There's the importance of the recipient's open-hearted faith that anything is possible, including the best outcome. There's that refresh and open-mindedness of a scientist whose love of his subject does not engender a defense of current scientific knowledge as doctrine, but rather as our best understanding so far, and something that will doubtless, as has happened throughout history, evolve. And lastly, as Jane describes so eloquently in our next and final clip, how energy healing seems to be able to unleash that natural and potent healing force that exists within all of us. One simple energy healing session was enough to do this for Mark, but let's leave that last word to his loving wife, whose openness, wisdom, and resolve to fight for her husband's life took her down a not so well-trodden path, but one that led to an amazingly quick and truly joyous outcome. Thank you for listening to Well Healed.
She saved my husband's life. I think I've told you that before, haven't I? Yeah, that's how I think of it. That's what I believe happened. That through her healing, that somehow what I believe happened is that something changed within him that tipped the balance so that then his body could take over and do its job in a way that it wasn't managing to do previously. That she brought something together within him so that natural healing process could continue.